The Holy Gospel according to John, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now Jesus said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, six young adults will come forward. They will stand before God. They will stand before you, God's people. And they will confirm the faith that was given to them graciously by God in their baptism. They will be asked the question, "Do you reject Satan and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord?" Big questions. They are the same questions that years ago, as their parents gathered at that font, they answered on their behalf. But now these young adults, after a time of study, a time of prayer, a time of fellowship, come forward with a knowledge of God's love, a knowledge of God's Word, and they make these promises, they confirm these things of Christ for themselves. It's a joyous time. It's an exciting time. Family and friends have gathered, godparents, grandparents, well-wishers, and us, members of this congregation, who have watched these youth grow, watched their faith flourish, watched them become members of this congregation. But for me, it is also a time of some trepidation. For this is a safe place. These young adults gather here, they stand before God, they stand before you, and they say, "Yes, I reject the empty things of Satan. I reject evil. In other words, I want to live in the light of Christ. I want to be away from the darkness of sin. Yes, I believe that God is the Creator. Yes, that I believe God created me. Yes, I believe God created the world. Yes, I believe I'm a steward of the things that I possess. Yes, I believe that Christ is God's Son. Yes, I believe that salvation comes through Jesus. Yes, yes, yes." This is a safe place to say yes. It's a church. We have the pews, we have the music, we have the lights, we have the people, we even have a minister. This is a safe place to be on God's side. It's a comforting place. But we do not live in here. We live out there. Tomorrow, these six young adults will go back to school, to their friends, to the world. And there they will encounter the false promises of Satan. There they will encounter a world that does not honor God as Creator and Lord. There they will encounter a world that often despises Christ and throws His name around in vain. They will encounter a world that's not often safe to proclaim the things of God. A world that's not often safe to live in the light of God. A world that throws around such things as power, as money, as sex, indiscriminately, as pawns in a larger game. That is the reality of the world. And it was the reality of the world 2,000 years ago. Today, as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate as we talked about during our children's story, the birth of a church. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ is not there any longer. These disciples, these followers of Jesus, these few women, these outcasts of society who have walked with Jesus, who have learned from Jesus, who have been instructed by Jesus, are now on their own. And they're bewildered. They're scared. They're confused. They've locked themselves in an upper room and they're not sure what to do. And into their midst comes the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? It sends them out. It sends them out into a world that is not friendly to Christians. Into a world that arrested and crucified their leader. Into a world that is looking for them. And the Holy Spirit comes to them. And they go out into the world and they proclaim the things of God. And we're told this is a great event in Jerusalem, that many cultures, many people have gathered for the great harvest festival. And we are told that Peter, the disciples, the apostles, the followers of Jesus begin to preach in the language of the people. Not in tongues that no one understands, not in willy-nilly language, but in clear, concise words. Words that have meaning for people. And in fact, we are told that thousands of people respond to these words, that the Holy Spirit sets them on fire, that they are baptized, that they leave there as followers of Christ. But it still remains a dangerous world. I cannot tell you that things will be easy. That you will stand here and make promises. The Holy Spirit will empower you and you will live a life free of scorn, free of sickness, a life of wealth, riches, power, a life on easy street. That is not the authentic life of discipleship. Peter, Paul, arrested, tortured, martyred for their faith. Thankfully, we live in a country where we are not worried about thugs breaking through the door. We do not worry that we will be arrested for what we say in here Sunday morning. But make no mistake about it. We do still live in a world that if we go outside, if we proclaim the things of Christ, if we're on fire for the Spirit, people will think that we too are drunk of the new wine. The promises that you make here today, the things that you confirm here today, shall carry with you. You will be asked to live a life that rejects sin. You will be asked to live a life that recognizes God as Creator. You will be asked to recognize a life that recognizes Jesus as your risen Lord and Savior. You'll be asked to live a life of discipleship. That is not always an easy life. It can be a very hard life. But it can be a beneficial life. For today, you are together. You are supported by one another, your friends, you are supported by your family, godparents, grandparents, friends, well-wishers. And at times, as you leave here, you will feel alone. You will feel alone as you try and decipher the good from the bad, as you find yourselves in situations that you do not know how to respond to. You will feel alone, but you are not alone. God is with you. The Holy Spirit has filled you. It will rest upon you. You will do things that you could not otherwise do without God. You will accomplish things you never thought possible. You will love, you will forgive, you will serve. Because what Christ has given unto you, it is a blessing. It is a gift. And it's one that you will carry with you as you leave here today. You will leave here as ambassadors of Christ. Disciples of God. You will leave here as members of this congregation. But most importantly, you will leave here as Christ's followers. And you'll be called to take that into the world with you. To go out into the streets. To use your gifts to proclaim the gospel. To serve others in Jesus' name. And at times, you will experience scorn. You will experience hardship. But you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you, resting upon you. My great prayer for you, that you continue to grow in faith, you continue to join together in fellowship and service, that you continue to recognize how God is blessing you. There's a story. A story about a bunch of scientists that got together. And they decided, we don't need God anymore. We've got things figured out. We know the universe. We know biology. Heck, we can even clone and create people. So the scientists got together and they elected one scientist to go tell God, we no longer need you. So that scientist went up the mountain and said, God, we thank you for all you've done, for helping us out, for getting us going, for winding the watch, so to speak. But now, Lord, we've got things figured out. We no longer need you. God said to the scientist, well, maybe we should have a little contest just to make sure you don't need me anymore. So the scientist looked up at God and said, God, that sounds fine. What should we do? And God says, let's see who can make a human first. Okay, says the scientist. He reaches down, grabs a handful of dirt, just like God in Genesis. And God says, oh no, not so fast. You go make your own dirt first. It's hard to believe. I know it'll be hard for you to believe. But 16 years ago, I sat right where you were. Family was gathered, godparents had come in from the farm, my sister was made to wear a dress, and it was confirmation. I was squirming in my seat wondering, when will the pastor be done? When can I go home and get out of this suit? I was confirmed. I made the same promises you're going to make, but I made a mistake. I thought I had graduated. I sat through my years of Saturday school. I had done my sermon notes. I had acolyted. I had fulfilled all the requirements. And now I was confirmed. Now it was time to move on to the next challenge of life. Check. Confirmation. Done. Grade 8 grad. Done. Get a job. Working on it. But you know, I made the same mistake as those scientists. I thought I had it all figured out. I studied, read the books of the Bible, I had prayed a little, now I come together, the pastor, the church had deemed me worthy, now I can move on. What will life bring my way? I was wrong. The Christian life is not about graduation. Christianity isn't something like a grade or a subject that we master and move on to the next challenge. The Christian life is one of continual discipleship. It's one of growth. It's one of struggle. It's one of recognizing that, hey, we don't have it all figured out and we're not going to figure it all out. But it's also a life of blessing. Because as we pray for growth, as we study, as we serve, as we learn, we are constantly being blessed. We are constantly being brought together in Christ's name. We are constantly being glorified in our Lord. This is not a graduation. You do not leave here today, have a big meal, and you're done with your faith. This is a start. You are standing up today and you're saying, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I am a follower of Jesus. That is the beginning. That is step one. That is the Alpha. And as we hear from today in Revelation, we are called to journey all the way to the Omega. All the way to that day when we have the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. We are called to journey with Christ. We are called to journey with one another. It's been a blessing to grow with you. I have grown from our time of prayer, from the questions you've asked, and from the way that you have come together in faith and service. And I pray that as time marches on, we, along with this congregation, along with your families, along with your friends, will continue to grow in Christ's name together. Amen.